Then the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am always with you to the very end of the age." In my former book, Theophilus, I wrote about all that Jesus began to do and to teach until the day he was taken up to heaven, after giving instructions through the Holy Spirit to the apostles he had chosen. After his suffering, he presented himself to them and gave many convincing proofs that he was alive. He appeared to them over a period of 40 days and spoke about the kingdom of God. On one occasion, while he was eating with them, he gave them this command: "Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit." Then they gathered around him and asked him, "Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom of to Israel?" He said to them, "It's not for you to know the times or dates the Father has set by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth."
Thank you, Hannah. The Great Commission of the risen Jesus to his 11 disciples gathered on a mountainside in Galilee seems quite simple. "Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you." It seems so simple, yet as Dallas Willard wrote so passionately, the Great Commission is often led to the Great Omission. The great omission from the Great Commission comes because we don't fully seek to understand those words of Jesus. We don't fully appreciate what Jesus is asking of us, and we don't fully commit, and we put limits on the call of Jesus upon our lives. So let's reflect upon these words of Jesus from Matthew's Gospel and the parallel words of commissioning from Luke's account in the Acts of the Apostles. The Great Commission is Matthew's post-resurrection encounter between Jesus and the disciples. Far more condensed and to the point in those post-resurrection encounters in Luke and John's Gospels. The angel at the empty tomb has called the disciples via the two Marys to return to Galilee and meet with Jesus. And on some unidentified mountainside, similar to where they would have spent so much of the last 3 years, they meet with their master. However, things are different now. Things have changed since the resurrection. The disciples' eyes have fully been opened, and they now see Jesus for who he truly is, the Son of God. And they do what you do with God. They bow down and worship. There is, though, a jarring note in Matthew's words when he says, "some doubted." And by this, he's not likely meaning some of the 11, but some of the wider group of Jesus' disciples who have trouble believing in the resurrected Jesus because they themselves have not witnessed him in the flesh. But from this posture of worship from the 11, Jesus leaves them with his last teaching, drawing together all that he said before and getting them ready for what lies ahead. Jesus begins by saying, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me." He's now no longer limited in his incarnation. He's fully resumed his divine status and the authority he shares with the Father. And it's from that authority, Jesus is the one now who determines the plans of how the kingdom of God will continue to be established on earth. And the means by this, which this will occur is through his disciples and their mission to make more disciples. The core command of what has become subsequently known as the Great Commission are the words, make disciples. And this is the most important part, with the words go, baptizing and teaching all supporting this central command. The call to make disciples is a call to do what Jesus did. It's more than a simple one-time call to salvation. It's a call to commit to a process of discipleship. That 3 years of instruction and growth that Jesus has spent with the 12. That is the call of the Great Commission. Not a hit and run, shove a tract in someone's face and expect them to say the sinner's prayer. That kind of approach. That's not what Jesus is calling people to. Making disciples was about seeing someone called out of the world and into a new life. And it was to be the offer of a new life for all. Jesus' discipleship was for all people. Jesus' call broke down the barrier of ethnicity, gender, socioeconomic status. He called all people to a new life in a personal relationship with him. It's a call to all nations. All people can become Jesus' disciples because of the same gospel which proclaims universal salvation. To make disciples, Jesus' current disciples need to go. And to go means they need to be involved, all of them. This is not an optional extra for his disciples. This was not only for some, this was for all of them. But the going didn't necessarily mean leaving your home and travelling great distances. The first disciples initially stayed in Jerusalem, but it did mean that they needed to take the initiative where they were. Then there are the two further conditioning phrases about the kind of way Jesus' disciples are going about making further disciples. Again, highlighting that it's not just about evangelism that leads to the moment of conversion, but discipleship that leads to the way of a new life in Christ. The first phrase is baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. If someone has been called from the nations to be a disciple of Jesus, it must in turn follow Jesus through the waters of baptism as a public sign of their lifelong commitment to him. And the second phrase is teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you. This is the process by which disciples will be transformed. Not just by acquiring head knowledge, but by putting Jesus' teaching into practice, obeying everything Jesus taught and exampled. And Jesus then rounds this off with one of the great promises of Scripture. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. Matthew's gospel had begun with the words that Jesus is God with us. And here Jesus reminds his disciples that he still will be God with them. An abiding presence who they can continue to worship and follow. And briefly reflecting on Luke's sequel to his gospel, the Acts of the Apostles, here in verses 7 and 8 in particular, we have his version of the Great Commission, where the disciples are to wait in Jerusalem for the gift that God has promised, the Holy Spirit, but from there, full of the Spirit, they are sent to be witnesses to Jesus, to Jerusalem, where they already were, to Judea, their own country, then to Samaria, the country next door, then to the ends of the earth, all nations. The sending here, though, is not about the geographical limits of mission, but that the promise of salvation was to go to all people empowered by the Spirit. So what can we learn from this familiar call of Jesus to help us in our mission as God's church today? The core command of the Great Commission for Jesus was to make disciples. Yet perhaps for much of the last 300 years, the focus in broadly evangelical churches has been to make converts. And in doing so, they felt that the Great Commission has been fulfilled. It's been counted as a success, as how many people have responded to an altar call, how many people have raised their hands at a speaker's appeal, how many people have attended an alpha course, taken the tract on a doorstep or in a street. But is this making disciples? It certainly isn't Jesus' approach to making disciples. His was a 3-year-long process. It was an apprenticeship with Jesus, not just a momentary decision. And so this needs to affect how we view our evangelism in terms of making disciples today. And we also need to recognize we live in a very different culture to Jesus. Everyone in the Jewish culture that Jesus lived in would have known exactly what Jesus would have meant when he said, "Come and be one of my disciples." It was one of the highest honours imaginable to be asked to be a disciple of a rabbi. Today we live in a world where the assumptions of the era of Christendom have disappeared from people's minds and vocabulary. When introducing the things of the Christian faith, we need to almost assume that people know nothing and build from there. The building blocks of the past no longer exist. The Great Commission has therefore become, as it perhaps always was, the great commitment. Hit and run tactics in evangelism fail to take seriously the demands of Jesus' call in these words and the demands of sharing the gospel in our culture today. It's about making disciples. Women and men who come to a relationship with Jesus, find that relationship with Jesus deepens, choose to be baptized, then learn to live as disciples of Jesus for the long haul. It's a long-term commitment for the church to make disciples. Then the second thing I think we can consider from this, in the first words that Jesus uses to condition the call, make disciples, is go. Down through the ages, the church has often understood the word go to mean go somewhere else. Go to another town, to another country. There's a whole history of world missions to support this, and there's certainly part of the call of Jesus about this. But it doesn't start there. Going somewhere else should not be, I feel, our first impetus for mission and evangelism. In our reading from the Acts of the Apostles, we have Jesus saying, "You will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and the ends of the earth." Jesus doesn't start by saying, "You will be my witnesses in all Judea and Samaria and the ends of the earth." He starts by saying, "You will be my witnesses in Jerusalem." Jerusalem, that's where the disciples were at this time. In Luke's gospel, mission starts where you are. The go of Jesus in the Great Commission is not go away, but go as in the go at the beginning of a race. Get on with it, start, get involved, be about it. Go make disciples, all of you. Starting in Jerusalem, start right where you are. Some of you may be called to mission further afield, but that's only after you've done mission right on your doorstep. Get involved in the mission of God that is right in front of you. So if the essence of the Great Commission is for us making disciples and get involved in the mission of God that is right in front of us, what might this look like? Going and making disciples should be at the core of what it means for us to engage in mission as a church. But in taking up the challenge of the Great Commission, we may need to do things that we haven't done before. We may need to be brave. We may need to be prepared not to do things that we've done before. But seek the new ways of joining in with the mission of God that is before us. And it does start with us going. But as I've said, that doesn't actually mean we have to travel anywhere. Going means we just need to do something, anything. The starting pistol has been fired. Get on with it, get involved, take the initiative. The starting pistol has been fired for all of us. There are no spectators in the race of mission. Jesus has said, go. We just need to be about it. And getting involved in the mission of God is about looking what is in front of you. Your neighbours, your street, your work colleagues, your workplace, your friends, your family, your community. This is your Jerusalem. But I'm afraid to tell you, standing outside your house with a sandwich board on, with Jesus is the way, the truth and the life, or popping a flyer through your neighbour's door, is no longer going to cut it. You're going to need to be more involved than that. In fact, a lot more involved. If our desire is for our missional engagement to be effective, we need to recognise that the way we go about things have moved on from the ways of the 20th century. However successful they were then, that is the past. Today is a different world. When I had a proper job, there weren't many people there who I knew were Christians on the site. But the attitudes of two of them I knew were very different. First, there was a chap called Malcolm. And Malcolm used to sit in his office every break and lunchtime and read his Bible. And everyone knew he did that. But then there was the second person called Orly. And Orly spent every break and lunchtime talking to people about their lives. Everyone loved Orly. Everyone thought Malcolm was a bit weird. Guess who I think is the better example of someone who got what it means to go and engage with the kind of mission that we need to be about today? Going means we need to go and get involved in people's lives. Going means we know to go and be like Jesus and make friends with people who are not yet in the kingdom. Going means we need to be genuinely interested in people's lives. Not as a project, not so you can suddenly sneak up on them and give them a potted version of the gospel, but simply because you want to get to know them. Share your life with them, be vulnerable. People need to trust you, become genuine friends, enjoy spending time with them. People need to be the ones to ask you questions of faith. And when they do that, you will know that they trust you. And you'll have permission to go deeper. Go be involved with what is right in front of your nose. And when you've taken that brave step, it's about embarking on that process of seeking to make disciples. The word pedagogy, when I first heard it, I thought it had something to do with feet, like pedicure or pedometer. But it's actually the science and theory of teaching. But then maybe discipleship and teaching has got something to do with feet after all. Because making disciples is actually about a journey. Teaching people to be a disciple of Jesus is about helping them to learn to walk through life with Jesus. It's not just 13 weeks of an Alpha course, not just a few weeks of baptismal preparation, but a long-term journey. It was 3 years for Jesus with the 12, and it could be that long for us, or more, with someone we're journeying with. It's an apprenticeship that new disciples need. And if we're honest, our journey of discipleship is ongoing for all of us. It is, as Eugene Peterson wrote, a long obedience in the same direction. But to encourage new disciples is about us journeying alongside those we've come to know, responding to their questions in kindness and grace, leading them towards Jesus, praying that they choose to follow him, and then helping them learn what it means to follow him in their lives. And maybe that moment when faith in Jesus is more fully realized. But it might be a slow meander into a lifelong journey of faith in Jesus. But whatever the length of the journey, we walk with them. However long that process of transformation needs to bed in, we will travel with them. Of course, it may be that those we journey with choose not to come to faith in Jesus. Jesus spent 3 years with Judas. And we all know how that turned out. And if Jesus didn't have a 100% success rate in his disciple making, maybe we shouldn't be discouraged if we don't. But it also means we shouldn't abandon friendships if things don't progress as quickly as we would like, or at all. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you. This is the great but simple commission of Jesus to his disciples in all ages. Words that we are to take and apply to the mission field that God has set before us in our lives. Going and making disciples doesn't mean that you really need to do anything different in your lives. It just means we need to do our normal things with our eyes, minds and hearts open to the potential of joining in with the mission of God that is revealed before us, and trusting that Jesus will be with us, bringing his plans and purposes to fulfillment. Let's pray. Disciple-making God, come and work through your church to see your great but simple commission fulfilled. For your glory we pray. Amen.